direct from the Los Angeles Underground. Open your ear holes for The Superiority Complex, a Guano production.
Susan.
Yes.
What made you decide I'm going to open a comic book store?
Crickets? No. Actually, I told Mike and I always talked about, like, if we wanted to open a business, what would it be?
Mm-hmm.
This was always something I've always wanted to do. It'd be fun. It's a fun little hobby of mine. I'm surrounded by stuff I like. Hey, if I go under, I'm stuck with a bunch of stuff that I like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
You're
so,
not going to go under.
I'm just saying, you know, that's, you know, in the process of doing it, that's what we thought. Why not surround ourselves with things that we wouldn't be, you know, we would love to have around us.
Yeah.
Basically.
You know, and that's
fun stuff.
That's another thing that amazes me about this store is that you're not in a prime location. You're not really in a prime location. You're off of a couple of streets, but the street you're actually on isn't a huge...
No comic book store is in a prime location.
That's true.
You're
always
in a corner of like some strip mall in the middle of gosh knows where.
I can think of one.
Which one?
That's close by, that's in a pretty good location.
Oh, well, that one. And
but yeah. We're not going to talk about them.
No, we're not going to talk about them.
I had a bad experience there.
Yeah, but see, they're in a prime location, but their service is horrible.
It's awful. We're not going to name any names.
No. We are not. I'm waiting for you to say it.
I do not, because what if they want to do a podcast? I'm just kidding. I have to keep my options open. No, but I will say there that for a collector, this is much better store. You bag and board everything.
That was a preference of mine when I was growing up.
Yeah, you bag and board.
My brother and I would go to comic book shops and dig through comic books, and we hated getting the comic book that was all bent up because of sticky fingers and, you know, the last fat guy that grabbed it and bent it up.
Why
and
you
whatever.
You're
fat
so,
guy?
You are so...
Because I'm looking right at
you're
you.
So, you're so anti-geek. I'm working
you
on
know
it.
What so, I mean. You know what I mean. So we bag and board everything.
Yeah, I do want to. Part of the reason I asked you to do this a long time ago, I asked you to sit down. And do, I think I told you way back last year when I was trying to put the podcast. I was like,
sure.
Yeah, not thinking I was ever going to do it. So I really want to. The part of the reason I wanted to, and part of the reason I asked you is, I mean, how do you feel being female? You're basically the face of the store. Mike is obviously your partner, but Mike's the silent partner. Mike comes in, and Mike's basic duties including tracking down people who shot out the window with a pellet gun.
Which is true.
Yeah, he's hunted them down.
He hunts down the kids that cause crap.
By the way,
you know?
If you decide you're going to come into Undercity and cause trouble, don't. Because
Mike will show up.
Mike will hunt you down. And Mike's a nice guy, looks like a nice guy, but there is a darkness.
There is a dark there's side to him. Yes, there is.
There is a sick, sadistic side. You do not want to unleash.
He has a dark side.
Yeah, it's funny because
it's the funny side. It makes me laugh, but it's still
because
it's there.
It's the Latino side.
It is.
Like,
I don't know.
I am getting even. Like, you are not.
You will pay.
You are not putting pellets. You are not putting pellets through my window.
He's nodding over there.
Yep. Don't do it. Do not do it, you guys. Oh. But how is it? Because you're basically, you are the Magic Johnson. You're the face of the store.
I wish I was as rich as you, but what I mean is you're
the first person people see. You're the one that most people have direct contact with,
right?
Do you feel like, and I don't feel it here, but a lot of when I told some of the people I work with and some people that had done the panel that I was doing a show with you,
right,
they wanted to get your perspective on how you feel that girls are treated in, like, how even in, like, kind of like comic book culture, there's still sexism. There's still a, well, you're a girl, you're into comics, like what kind of almost like you don't have any street cred being a girl. Do you feel like you get that, or do you feel like...
I think it's a little bit harder, you know, but the great thing is girls like me,
yeah.
I mean, they love coming to me because, you know, I could talk with them and they feel welcome in a place. You know, sometimes a girl behind the counter is great. For boys who don't have a lot of, you know, social skills.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It helps them be able to talk to, you know, girls. And I think that's great, you know, with the Hello Kitty side and everything. It brings more girls into my store.
Yeah. The comic books are,
I think it's a lot more accepted now than it was.
Yeah. More girls are definitely getting into
They're getting into it, which is great. you know? And you could tell, like with Isabella, I could tell she has that part of her that's just the nerdy part, but also that girly side. She reminds me a lot of me when I was her age.
She's very like My Little Pony and Barbie, but at the same time.
Come on.
We'll watch Ultimate Spider-Man. And she, you know, with her, the key is she reminds me of me in that anything that's funny, if it's funny, she's on board. So I just told you the Ultimate Spider-Man, they're doing it kind of funny. And she's like,
she likes it.
She loves it. She thinks it's hilarious. And she'll just laugh and laugh. And so that's kind of her entry. But yeah, she is kind of like, she always does have kind of an existential crisis where it's like, there's the girly side that wants to come out. But at the same time, she wants to do
I mean, I've known girls that all they like is like girly stuff, you know, high maintenance. They grow up to be high maintenance and whatever. I'm like, you know, who cares? You know, you have to have that, you know, tomboy side. That's me, you know.
Do you feel like being in a business is mainly probably dominated by males? Do you think that's harder for you to do business as far as like dealing with distributors or
not at all? I think the distributors like it.
You think it gives you an edge?
I think it gives me an edge to the fact that, you know, I could talk the talk.
Do you ever use your feminine wiles? Don't lie. Do you ever use like a hi, oh my God, I forgot to order this.
No.
You never put on the
No,
sugar
if I mess up, I mess up. This is what it is. You know, I don't do that. But no, I don't think there's a problem with it. I think if anything, a lot of the distributors prefer the fact that they're trying to get more females into it.
Yeah, yeah.
And because
it's a huge.
It is. It's huge. You know, and it's nice to, you know, expand your customer base.
Because there's a lot of girls when I come in here. Like you have to. One thing you have to know about Undercity is that they're. Undercity is a hangout. There's a lot of people here that, in the best possible way,
people come in here just to hang out.
People come in here. This reminds me a lot of my. I had a friend that worked at Levels up in Uptown Whittier, and one guy that used to work at Levels. This guy Al, he's a friend of my friend John. He opened a store on the street behind Levels on Comstock.
Okay,
it's called Al's Records. It was all vinyl. It was a tiny shoebox of a store.
Right.
In that tiny shoebox of a store, you'd see the same guys hanging out in there. Because it was just like, they're record geeks. They just want to talk about albums and they talk about this. And he would go out and go to estate sales and he had new stuff all the time. So they were in there going through these bins and seeing what was up. But you'd see the same guys in there all the time.
Right.
And you see the same kind of people here, but your guys happen to be like younger.
They're younger and, you know, Mike and I always told ourselves, you know, it's a nice safe place for them to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than that they're not on the street doing something stupid.
Yeah.
Because knowing them, they'll do something stupid. You know, it's like, you know, what are you doing? You know, sometimes you need that, you know, they don't listen to their parents, but you're kind of like that other person they come to that's an adult that they look at and they really respect what you have to say.
Yeah, and they almost respect you because you're not their parents.
You're not their parents, exactly.
And you're into the same thing they're into. They're in here, obviously, because they like, and I have said that, and I don't mean this in an insulting way, but you have an almost matriarchal
Most of them have already asked me to adopt them, and half of them are like 21.
you do have a very, like when I come in here, when I first started coming in here, I would just be in here browsing, and it would be like an off day, because I would just come in when just to see what was in before I started really collecting. So now it's Wednesday's the day in comic book. That's the day you get your comic. Like the new stuff is out Wednesday, but I come in on like a Tuesday or whatever, and you'd be here. And it'd just be me and like maybe, and you'd be giving advice. They'd be like, what should I do? My girlfriend's doing this.
Right.
And you'd be like, oh, well, you should do this or you don't put up with this. And you end up, you were almost like a hairdresser or bartender or therapist for a lot. And I think I see that a lot. I see that a lot of people come to you for like advice.
Because we're not going to sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
You know, we tell them straight up like it is. It's like, well, you look like an idiot. You know, we're not afraid to tell you that. And they take that. And then they change that part of them.
Yeah.
And then
how does that, is that something that you could have never seen that coming when you decided to open the store?
No, it's so cool. You know, these kids, I call them kids.
Well, they are.
Well, they are because when, you know, when I opened the store, a lot of them are still in high school. A lot of them are now in college, you know, but they still come, you know, they still come here all the time. And to me, it's like an extended part of my family. I care about those kids. You know, I want them to do the right thing, and I'm trying to make sure that they go the right direction and they don't do something too stupid. You know, that's why we're here to put them back in a place.
Like, do something stupid, like eat a cheeseburger with a chicken sandwich stuffed inside.
I tried talking to her about that. You know, it's horrible when he's eating a big meal and then afterward he looks at me and he's like, you know what sounds really good right now? I'm like, what? A Big Mac. I'm like, really? You just ate like a huge meal and now you want a Big Mac.
We're talking about one of our regular customers. Yes. We're not going to name any names.
No.
But he's also a Dodgers fan.
Like myself. A huge Dodgers fan.
And he eats a sandwich called a...
It's called a McGangbang. And at first, I was like, what? We're going to go to McDonald's and get a McGangbang. I'm like, what the heck is a McGangbang? I guess it's a double cheeseburger. And you buy it separately. So it's a double cheeseburger and you buy a McChicken. And then when you come over here, you...
You take
the chicken and you put it in between the two...
And you have to make sure you sit at the table.
In front of me while I look at you disgustingly. While you put the chicken between the two patties of the double cheeseburger.
And then you eat it. And you make as much noise as you can.
These are the same kids in the middle of the night that went to Jack in the Box when those stupid Jimbaco commercials were on. And they asked for a Jimbaco. These are the ones. And even the people... And Jack in the Box did not know what they were talking about. And it was funny. And so they ended up buying, you know, what was it? First you get a Jumbo Jack, then you get two tacos. I'm trying to remember the song.
Yeah, yeah.
So they buy it, and they come over here and make a Jimbaco.
Let me ask you this. How soon after? Because that's part of one of the things that... And look at you.
I know, it's just insane.
Her head in her hand.
It's like face palm, you know?
Yeah, her head is just in her hand. She said, how soon after you opened did that start happening? Did you start noticing people coming in and just kind of hanging out?
Yeah, those kids?
Yeah.
Probably within the first couple months.
How long have you been open now?
Actually, next month will be 3 years.
Awesome. Good for you. Mm-hmm. So first couple months and they just started hanging out. And mm-hmm. were you kind of like... What was it like at first? Where you just
it was just like, okay, kids, dorks, you know, whatever, you know. And then you start coming in, they start talking about themselves, you know. You get to know them a little better. And then all of a sudden, they're just like your family. They're like, you worry about them. Yeah. You worry about them doing something stupid.
Because I've even gotten to the point where I've asked, hey, I know people are looking for jobs. Like, hey, did you find something?
Right.
What's going
on?
Exactly.
And that's how it is. And I'm looking for help wanted places. Every time I see something, I'm like, hey, guys, you know, I saw a help wanted site over there. Go apply. Yeah, yeah. You know, stuff like that.
Because you can only employ so many. It's a small store. You can't
believe
give them all...
me. If I can make $1 billion here, I would, and I'd employ everybody.
Because you have
that
two.
I have two full time. Well, not full time, but I have two employees.
Yeah. One of whom is on our podcast.
Yeah, Renee.
Frequently now, yeah.
And he's just excellent when it comes to comic books. Mm-hmm. He knows how to recommend stuff really well.
That kid's knowledge of. He knows artists. He mm-hmm. knows. They're into comics on a completely different level than
it's
I am.
It's a different level, yeah.
And they know, you know, those guys are just, they're so knowledgeable. It's amazing to me mm-hmm. that they just, you know, they know it on that level.
Right.
You know,
where and Renee, you know, he's been coming to our store for a while. Probably like the first year I was open, he started coming here and hanging out, you know, and he was a really cool kid. And I always had him in the back of my head. If I ever have a position open, I would hire him for the position. A lot of most of the kids that come in here, like Victoria, her and her boyfriend was one of my first customers. Mm-hmm. And she came here playing magic for a year until I started to want to hire people. And when I did, I hired them both.
Yeah.
And Victoria's still here. Mike ended up taking off doing something else, but he still comes in all the time. But Victoria, I don't know what I'd do without her. Yeah. She's like that other, she's like when I'm not here with them, you know, being the mom. She's pretty much the big sister. She keeps track of everything.
And if you come to visit Undercity, anything Doctor Who related is because of Victoria.
Victoria. She loves Doctor Who, and you know, she made me a little placemat. She made all these.
We did our Doctor Who from that table. We got our Doctor Who show with a TARDIS tablecloth. Now, I wanted to ask, and somebody else had a question. You mentioned magic, and you mm-hmm. do. You have Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments. Mm-hmm. How hard is it now in this day and age? And this is the question I had thought of earlier, especially with the advent of like digital comics.
Right.
How hard is it to maintain? If you were going to do just solely a comic book store, how hard would it be? Do you think
so? Not diversifying, basically.
Yeah.
You'd go under in a second. You have to diversify in this economy.
Yeah.
You cannot. You have to. Make sure you have different things for different interests, like magic. Mm-hmm. Magic was a, you know, afterthought. when we opened the store, you know, and then we ended up going in and thought, well, we'll just carry a card game because that thing was huge. And we knew, we read about it. I never played it. Yeah. I still to this day haven't played it.
That's a whole different level.
It's a whole new level of things. And I know that if I do, I'll probably get addicted and I don't want to.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I try to learn it. Mike learned it.
Mm-hmm.
He learned Yu-Gi-Oh! As well. So, you know, if one day if there's a kid that's here that has nobody to play with, Mike can come and sit with them and play with them and at least, you know, make them feel welcome.
Yeah.
You know? But Magic is definitely taken off on its own.
Yeah.
Yu-Gi-Oh! So too.
How much of your store do you think, what percentage of the store is comics and what percentage is...
A majority is still comics.
Yeah.
Especially with the new movies that came out, a lot of people started getting into comics again. I see mm-hmm. a lot more people coming back to it and a lot of parents allowing their kids to read it.
Yeah. That's definitely, what got my, of all things that got my daughter into comics was, as much as this irks me, is a Mexican Taco Bell, apparently, when the Fantastic Four movie came out, the last one, they were giving, she was over with her grandma, obviously not my mom. just kidding, mother-in-law. She got a Fantastic Four comic,
mm-hmm.
and that was it. Like she was off to the races. It was there's somebody looking inside the window. Mm. They want comics. I'll sell them some. But she was off to races, and that's what got her into it. And so. We came in here and so for me, reading is, I don't care what she's reading. As long
reading
as
reading is 100%
as,
great.
As long as it's not inappropriate for her age level, why not read comic? But if it's fun for a kid and they're reading it, don't stop them from reading it. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of parents are like, well, why do you let her read comic? Why not? She enjoys it.
There's all some for all ages. Some parents are very strict when it comes to what they want to read.
Oh yeah, I don't let her read anything. I mean, because some of the Batman stuff, man, is so
hardcore.
Yeah,
oh my god, even me when I'm reading, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. You have to be really careful. But that's a great thing that I didn't know that's changed since I was getting the ages. You know, the ages they recommend it right on the
right. But
Marvel's really good about that. Sometimes some of the independent titles.
Independents don't do it. So when parents bring. You bring your child in here or whatever, I will go over to show them exactly what to look for when it
and
comes
you, as you did with me. And Sue is very good about, I'm kind of turning it into a commercial for you, but I, honestly, because this is a really great store and because you're so good at making people feel welcome, like I said, and that's part of the reason people hang out here. And,
right.
As far as like you have Magic tournaments, you have Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournaments, are you looking to expand into any other?
I just don't have the clientele for Pokemon. Otherwise, I would.
I'm
looking at you. I'm looking at you for that. I could get it, but the thing is that I tried carrying it, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
I tried carrying sports cards. That didn't work either.
Yeah.
Sports card industry is kind of not very good right now. It's just like you don't get your value for what you buy. No.
And plus, you can go buy a giant pack at Target right at the checkout line and
right if you really want to do that, but you know, it's I've tried that.
Yeah,
well, didn't work,
that's
you
also
know.
You know what, and again, it's that there's that divide where a sports guy is gonna be like, well, I'm not gonna go to a comic book store
right.
and get my card
right,
and the but comic book guys are like, we don't want those jocks in here.
Well, it depends on the jock, you know. Yeah. Not all jocks are like that, you know.
No,
a lot of them are like, some of them are nerdy, they just don't want to say it in front of their friends. And my brother was a jock. He's a nerd, too.
You know what's great?
You know?
You know what's great? Any nerd, I don't care how much a person's a jock or not into, everybody loves Star Wars.
I know.
Star Wars is like the one thing.
It's the one thing.
Is the one thing everybody's like, oh, dude, Star Wars. Like,
yeah.
You could get people that have never seen an episode of Star Trek or whatever, never picked up a comic book, they'll tell you everything about Star Wars.
Yes.
So that's kind of like the great equalizer.
Yes,
Star Wars
is the
one that.
It is.
So do you... are you guys looking to keep the thing as it is going now? Everything's status quo because it's working for you, or would you like to see?
Once the Hello Kitty's gone, I was thinking maybe moving getting more trades, carrying more trades.
Yeah.
I mean, I think trades, you know, in the beginning, wasn't that big of a seller here. I love having the books here.
So for someone who's not knowledgeable,
Okay, the graphic novels, which are basically, instead of buying the individual comics, you wait until like six, seven comics are out. And then what DC or Marvel or those publishers do is they release it in a book form. Kind of like when you go to the bookstores and you find like the actual paperbacks or the hardcovers with the actual full story in it.
So graphic novel is different because sometimes graphic novel is dedicated to like one single story.
That
maybe didn't do as in singles. It could be like something like...
It could be something, different than that. Yeah. Or like older stories that you can't get anymore or they cost too much for back issues. You want to read the story.
Yeah.
They're great. I mean, personally, I like the hardcovers and the paperbacks because it looks great on a bookshelf. I have a lot of them at home. You know, it helps me read an entire story all in one night, and I'm good. You know, and then I could catch up and then recommend what's next, like with Lock and Key.
We're going to get into your recommendations in a minute. But
yes,
you recommended that to me. It is amazing.
Do you finally finish it?
I'm almost.
Clockwork is the best, I think.
You know why I'm not rushing through it? Because there's still...
Yeah, they're only on number 4 on Omega, and there's 7 issues. And then, so I'll have to wait until the book comes out, too, because I'm not getting the individual issues
So I'm not rushing through it, because I kind of want to...
Because that's the last of it.
Oh,
it's over.
Good. It's really good. It's a horror comic.
It's written by Joe Hill.
Who is Stephen King's
son.
Yeah.
I never really... I was kind of, like, questioning it, and then Victoria let me borrow the first book on Welcome to Lovecraft, and... I had to then buy them all.
It's really good. And you recommended it to our friend Lauren, who has said, she posted something on her Facebook. She's like, I guess I'm into comics now. It's like, Sue got another one.
Yes.
The bug.
I know, you know, when someone's not really into comics, you got to start them off with something a little easier.
So what is something for someone who's never, someone
girls?
Who's listening right now, a girl who's never picked up a comic book.
If you're an adult, Fables.
Fables?
Fables is 100% one of my favorite comics ever.
Are those available in trade as well?
They are all. There's 18 books.
You carry them?
Yes, I do. All of them. Wow. Yes. And then there's also Side Stories, which I have all those too. And there's also a full novel called Peter and Max that they wrote about Peter Piper and his brother, the Pied Piper.
So let me ask you a question. What give us a so quick synopsis of Fables. What is it? It's obviously based on...
It's fairy tale. So what it is, it's by Vertigo, so it's for mature readers, so just not for kids. Because there's some nudity in...
What?
There is, but, you know. But, you know, it's for adults. It's not for kids. So even though it says it's for fairy tales, it's not. It's about... our fairy tale characters that we grew up with, Snow White, Beast, you know, the big bad wolf, everything from the Grimm, you know, and on, and the Hans Christian Andersen, they all existed, and they all lived on another world, on a different world. There was a war, and they had to run because during the war, these goblins would come in and kill these fairy tale characters. And so they wanted to leave, so what they did was they ran to our world, and they take place. They actually are living among us in New York City.
Oh, so it's just like a superhero comic.
It is. And so the fables, they call themselves fables because that's what they are. Because they know that they are part of a book, you know, in, you know, our world, that people read stories about them in our world. But, you know, it's a little different. The stories that we read is not really what happened. So they're kind of famous to that point, but they kind of blend in with the rest of us, and they cannot use their powers in front of what they call Mundies, which are the mundane people, which is like you and me.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks a lot.
So what they do is they have their own world, kind of like in a bubble on its own.
What's funny is that you were in here the other day. I was in here. And there was a girl that came in.
Her boyfriend is really into comics.
Yeah, and she was maybe picking up the second.
Yeah, she
volume.
Was getting the second one because I recommended the first
one.
Yeah,
and she was like, I really loved it.
She loved it.
You hooked another one,
yes,
Sue.
Yes, I did. And she's like, I have to come here every week now and get the next one.
See?
And it's just, even if you're not a girl, you know, Renee's read them all, and he says it's excellent.
Do you find, is there a little bit more satisfaction when a girl comes in and maybe isn't in the
comic. She was questioning me at first. Yeah. You know, she's like, I don't know. You know, I've never read a comic book in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if it's something. I'm like, it's going to be the one that you probably read and really get into if you've never read a comic book before. I don't want to get you into something like Batman or Wolverine or whatever. You know, that gets a little too, you know, mainstream. You want to go a little bit, you're a girl, you like fairy tales. Okay, here, read this.
Yeah.
You know, because I've always loved that kind of stuff, yeah, too.
So do you feel a little bit more of a sense of satisfaction, like when somebody, when you do recommend, say, to
and
a
they
girl,
like it.
And they,
yeah,
like it.
Mm-hmm. Because then I'd be like, okay, good. I do have good taste.
Do you find that a lot? Do you find that, do you see that, like, model come in, like, where it's the boyfriend and the reluctant girlfriend, like, all right, I'll go with you to the comic book store, but hurry.
Occasionally.
Yeah.
Yes, occasionally, not much.
Yeah.
But I think he dragged her in here because, and she's like, she was kind of curious.
Yeah.
Because I could tell that she, like, her boyfriend was really talking to her about, you know, some of this stuff. She was kind of interested. She was at the cusp, but she wanted to try it, but.
And that's really great because I think a lot of people, I mean, when you're married especially, you know this, you have to have things that you like that maybe Mike doesn't like, and you got to have your own things. And but it's always nice when stuff overlaps. It's always nice
to be
into.
A lot of it
into,
overlaps. We like the same thing.
Yeah, like, is it. It's, at our house, Isabella and I like comics, so it's kind of cool that we have that. Because
uh-huh.
Nicole is like, nah, like, no interest, you know.
Right.
And I'm sitting there with my reading glasses like I'm an intellectual and I'm thumbing through Batman. Oh, look, the Joker has returned, yes.
Sometimes Mike's like watching TV and I'm sitting there reading and I go, and then he's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah.
Do you read a lot? Do you read a lot of comics?
I do. I try to. I try to get into all the stuff that's going on right now, especially like the New 52 stuff, like the certain stories I really got into, Marvel, with the Marvel Now.
How many current titles do you think you read, on a regular basis?
Regular basis? I'm trying to think. Probably about 10 to 15.
That's about what I'm trying to
see,
keep up.
I kind of, there's got to be some kind of interest for, yeah, me, you know?
Well, that's a good question. What kind of comics interest you?
It depends on the writer, too. Like, I love the way Geoff Johns writes, mm-hmm, so I read, like, everything that he releases.
What are some of his titles?
Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
He releases Green Lantern. Mm-hmm. I'm never into Green Lantern.
I read
Green Lantern, and his writing just sucks you in. And then also Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Justice League was really, really good. Those are, like, the main ones he writes. Aquaman, I was really questioning, but I heard it was really, really good.
You've hyped that so much that I do need to read it.
I feel like I'm
doing you an injustice.
It's like, I heart Aquaman. He's pretty awesome. He is so cool. He's like, you don't think about it. You're like, Aquaman, really?
Well,
he's like the worst.
Because you have the same recollection of Aquaman as me.
Yeah,
he's Super
stupid.
Friends.
Oh, yeah.
He's wearing,
it's like, really, dude? You know, so that's all you do.
He's wearing the orange.
Orange.
I'll call the squids.
Yeah, no, and he's riding a seahorse. Yeah, exactly. You
that's
know.
No Batman.
I know,
that's
no, it
no,
ain't.
That's,
you know,
no Batman.
And then I read Batman, the regular Batman title.
There's so many Batman titles.
Right when I started liking Damian, guess what happened? And then I read the first Batman and Robin, you know, trade. And also Detective Comics, Faces of Death was pretty...
You recommended that to me. It's in...
It was pretty intense.
It's the lead up to Death of the Family, which is a big story arc they just did, which will probably be in trade.
Right.
DC takes forever with their trades.
They don't, but, you know, be careful with the next set of trades because they are kind of overlapping certain stories on certain trades, and you might get the same story in a couple trades.
Well, let me know.
Yeah, I know.
That's why
I'm a little disappointed right now.
By the way,
they're gonna release.
That's another thing. If you're here at the store, Sue will help you navigate. You know everything that's coming out, and you know what's going on. And
usually 2 months in advance.
Yeah, and you're always like, don't get that because this. And that's another thing I love about you. It's like you're not always out to just, like, make a buck. Like, you realize the value of, like, hey, if I treat this person well, he's going to come back.
Right.
Instead of, like, well, I'm just going to get as much money as I can.
If you want to read something, you know, one of my customers asked me, too, is like, how's this Wolverine, you know, the first Wolverine? I've heard not so good things about it. So I told him, I said, I don't know. Because I haven't heard that good of things about it. So I would wait if you want to read it.
I've been mm-hmm. picking it up. I haven't read it. Savage Wolverine, though.
I heard that's really pretty.
Listen.
Good.
Dinosaurs versus Wolverine. What else do you want?
Savage Land Wolverine.
They canceled my, what was the thing I was getting? G.I. Combat?
Oh, G.I. Combat?
Yeah, that was terrible.
It was, oh, God. Yeah, they canceled that in like 8 issues.
I was hoping it would be awesome.
I'm kind of sad that they canceled Sword of Sorcery. I grew up with Amethyst. Princess of Gem World when I was a little girl. And this stupid thing, it was supposed to be for little girls when they first released it. And then it got really, really dark. And then they canceled it way back in the day. And they brought it back in Sword of Sorcery. But now they canceled that too. So I'm a little upset about that. I like her as, I like the darker stories.
A lot of the new 52 is like, they just keep dropping off. But they always have to have 52, right?
So yeah, so they keep adding more. So there's going to be a new Batman Superman comic that's coming in. Kind of like the original World's Finest.
Oh, okay.
Now they're, you know, it's called Batman Superman.
Now they're edgy.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. So, yeah. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no. It's just their bromance. That's their thing. Those two.
Bromance.
Yeah. Bromies. Yeah. Superman, Batman. They have like this little bromance going on with each other. I mean, it's like they, even in the Justice League comic, they like leave and don't do their own thing.
I'm going to have you, I'm going to have you follow. I don't know if you heard the day we did the Doctor Who episode. My friend Rosemary, she's on Instagram and she does a thing where she gets drunk and she posts. She'll just scan pages of comics.
Uh-huh.
And she, everything she scans has to do with the fact that she just takes these things totally out of context. So it makes it look like Captain America and Tony Stark are having this total affair. And they're like in love with each other. And she's like, I don't edit anything. She's like, I just take it. I'm giving you pages of the comic. Like, that's all I'm giving you. But the drunker she gets, the more she posts.
Oh, man.
It's really awesome. Because she's obsessed. Her her cat's name is Steve, after Steve Rogers. So she's obsessed with Captain America, but she's like convinced that her and Tony Stark.
So she named her cat Steve.
Steve.
I named my brother Steve.
After Steve Rogers?
No, after Steve Trevor from Wonder Woman.
Oh my God! Did you?
My mom was like, "Oh, what would you like to name your little brother?" I remember this. I was like about four when she was pregnant, and I was like, "She's like, I'm gonna name him Daniel." I'm like, "No!" It's like, you name him Steve after Steve Trevor from Wonder Woman. And they did.
Wow. See? you're welcome.
And my brother's like, he's like, yeah. I'm like, Steve Trevor's cool. You know, too bad they canceled Team 7, but, you know, he's pretty cool.
He's kind of Wonder Woman's bitch.
He is. But he's, you know, I felt bad for him. You know, because I've been reading Wonder Woman, too. And, you know, because I grew up with her, and yeah. I have to read Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And it's the take that they did for the New 52 is a lot, it makes more sense. And so when Steve Trevor came in, it's a little sad. It's so sad to read about him. And he went in Justice League, too. It's kind of like, loves her, and she doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, well, and it just breaks my heart.
She's an Amazon.
You know? I know.
She doesn't have time for that. Well, what did you think of the DC Wonder Woman movie? Did you like that? I thought they did a pretty good job with it.
No, I never saw it.
It's all right. Nathan Fillion.
Oh, no. The
cartoon.
The cartoon. Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, it's not bad.
They did a good job, I thought. Because, you know.
I like Nathan Fillion.
It's hard to get. Because people tend to think of Wonder Woman, that's a girl's comic book. But I'll tell you one that's supposed to be a girl's comic that is awesome. And I've read
Captain Marvel is awesome.
I told you.
It's awesome.
I started picking that up for Isabella because they rebooted. It was actually Miss Marvel.
Yes.
Who they used to draw with, like, no clothes on.
Right.
She's basically the
Carol Danvers.
She's basically the Marvel version of Power Girl.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, they gave her a new suit, so they make her look like the old Captain. And there's two. Captain Marvel is so murky because DC had a Captain Marvel way back. And
Shazam.
And they had to change him. And then Captain Marvel had Captain Marvel. But it wasn't Captain Marvel. It was Captain Mar-Vell.
Because
he was from another planet.
Right.
They called him Captain Marvel. And then he died, and so now Carol Danvers took over.
Now Captain Marvel.
Yeah, and but they've done a really great job with that title, mm-hmm. and now there's rumors that they're going to cancel it.
Really?
I guess they addressed them in the last letter section, and they're like, "Nope, we're not going anywhere." But the rumors are, you know, those internet rumors.
Because it's a hot seller. Here.
Is it good?
Yeah.
I love
it. It's one of those that just flies off the shelf when it comes here. I mean, there's a lot of people. I think it's one of those that is kind of like the quiet issue that nobody ever talks about.
Yeah,
you know
it's great. And
it's really good.
The covers have been fantastic. They're all based on like 40s. Like,
have you read Hawkeye?
No, I haven't read it.
Oh my God, you need to read Hawkeye.
You know who hates Hawkeye?
Who?
Our friend, my wife.
Really?
Hates him.
No. It's like, I'm never interested in Hawkeye. Hawkeye was just boring. It was one of, you know, those characters, kind of like Green Lantern. It was just boring.
Kind of like the Green Arrow, but all these guys
But everybody's all into Green Arrow right now
because of the
I've
show.
The story is in at Arrow. I'm yet to see it.
Because of the show. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's on CW. I don't watch anything on CW. But I just don't. It's just too, the Smallville thing I never really got into. It's just not my thing. But Hawkeye, I read it. It's funny. It's campy. It's cool.
He's actually in the Avengers that I've in the Avengers stuff that I've been reading, he's always kind of like he's a very scrappy, almost like a survivor character.
He is.
And I really like him. Like in right now, he's in the Ultron thing. He's one of the guys that, like, you know, he's made it out through the, like, Ultron's decimated everybody and he survived. And it's like, he's like the one that has like the desire to like go out and like.
Right.
So I really like him in the comics.
You dig Hawkeye. I have the trades. Just let you know.
All right. This is what she does to me. You guys, just watch out.
No. It's like because walking you know, when in I the read quicksand. It, I'll let you know if it's good or not. You know, certain things are just kind of like I can't get into. That one made me laugh. It was funny. It was cool.
Speaking of funny, Deadpool right now is awesome.
I still have to. I'll wait till the trade comes out on that one.
By the way, Patton Oswalt wrote a letter in the last
Deadpool. Oh, really?
Because the whole thing is they write. It's Brian Posehn, and I forgot who the other writer is, but they're writing as Deadpool, so he answers all the mail.
Right.
And Patton Oswalt wrote. He just writes like this rambling letter, and then he writes, "Hey, have you seen the Iron Man 3 trailer? Gandhi's in it." And then they write back, "We don't know who Gandhi is. Is he an X-Man? It's awesome, so hilarious." But yeah,
Deadpool makes me laugh. I've read all the Deadpool and Cables because Cable was my guy when I was growing up. He was always my favorite character. I've always loved him.
See, I didn't know who Cable was. I didn't know who.
He's just.
I took a bunch of crap at work because I didn't know who Gambit was.
Really?
Well, because I didn't grow. I by the time the 90s rolled around, I'm already.
Well, the Wolverine movie kind of screwed up Gambit.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, seriously. But Gambit's pretty cool. No, Cable was always my favorite when I was growing up. It's big guy who has a bunch of guns and he's just like, you know, crazy, you know. And then you find out he's freaking Cyclops' son.
Is he?
Yeah.
How is he Cyclops' son?
So, Jean Grey died, you know, one of the times she did die. Or she went into suspended animation in the water, kind of like, the, you know, when they had that movie trilogy crap and, you know, she kind of went in underwater in the second movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. Well, I guess, you know, there's a whole story between the time and she kind of was in suspended animation underneath the water and then I guess a clone comes out, someone who looks just like her shows up and everybody thought Jean Grey was dead and her name was Madeline Pryor. And Madeline Pryor was kind of like evil. She's had the telekinetic abilities kind of like what that Jean Grey did. Cyclops being the pussy that he is, he freaking fell in love with her because she looked just like Jean Grey, married her, had a kid. That child was Nathan Summers. Mr. Sinister infected him with some kind of virus, like a techno-organic virus, that he thought would kill the child because it would like change his body to metal. But the baby had telekinetic abilities as well, so they sent the baby to the future to learn how to control his telekinetic abilities. So what happened was when they sent him to the future, he sent him to a future, a very bad future, where there was a lot of war. Cyclops and Jean Grey, she ends up coming back. When she does come back out of suspended animation, they ended up going to the future and raising him as his parents, but he didn't know they were actually his parents. That was them. Jean Grey actually taught him how to control his telekinetic abilities and everything in the future. And then later on, he comes back as a full-blown old man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then, you know, later on they find out that he is actually Nathan Summers, who is Cyclops' son from kind of like the present but the future.
You know what's great about that whole story is that for like your geekiness came out. You were normal this whole time.
I know. I just came out. Sorry, the story.
But that's what happens that's the magic of when you're really into something. And it can be comic books, it can be, you know, whatever. Movies, music, whatever, but you just get that. You get that glazed look in your eye and you're just like, this is the story. But the great thing about comics is that you have countless. I mean, look at this wall. And this isn't a huge store. How many titles do you carry? How many?
Probably over 100.
100. They take up all the space.
On the walls.
They take up all the space that isn't
more than that.
Hello Kitty. Mm-hmm. So, but see, that's so good. See, but See, you know, and all of these characters have like these huge backstories, and some of the characters.
I love the backstories. Yeah. I think it's just, you know, you get to, you know, like I said, you fall in love with the characters. You get to know them. You're yeah. like, okay, you know, you want to know what happens next. And when something tragic happens, you're kind of like, it hurts. I believe me, as many books that I've read that I've cried.
So I'm going to go into our recommendations. Like, you don't have to keep it. You can keep it to comics. It's up to you. Mm-hmm. You can keep it strict. You can talk about whatever you want. But I'm going to, I always ask my guests five. I always have them give the listeners in that little box you keep staring at five recommendations. So it can be something, doesn't have to be current. It can be something that you just really enjoy. Mm-hmm. So the first one I always say is, do you want a movie or TV show that you're into right now or that you really like or something that you would recommend? Or give us, like, you know.
You know, I haven't seen this current season, but Game of Thrones is pretty badass.
Oh, this season's awesome.
Oh, God. I could watch that whole, because we don't have HBO. So we wait until it comes out on Blu-ray.
And it sucks because they wait till the next season's going to come out. So you got to wait almost a year.
And then we do, and then we watch it all in one night. Mike and I just play it all in a row, like all 10 episodes. We're just in there, next one. It's like an addiction. Yeah. And you watch the whole thing, and then you're caught up, and then you have to wait another year for the next one to come out.
And the thing about that show is that my wife and I talk about, it's an HBO show, so there's no commercials. It goes a full hour.
Right.
But that hour goes by so fast.
It does.
Because you have so many storylines going on. You're going to love it. The season's been great so far, really good so far. And nothing really, no major battles, anything like that. It's all the political, it's all the machinations, everything you like. It's so good, and the season's been really great. I am so excited about...
I can't even look at Tyrannus, what is his name, Lannister, little guy, without thinking of MODOK now, after that whole thing that you guys did on the... Oh my God, every time I see him now, I'm thinking, MODOK.
MODOK, right? Wouldn't he be a great...
He'd be great as MODOK. Yeah. He would. He's so awesome, though. I love him
so
in there.
So horrible.
I love him in Game of Thrones. He's like my favorite, you know, out of all of them, because he just doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know? That's what I like.
I love it. He's been really good this season, too. Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff, because there's a lot of things going on with him and his sister that are...
Oh,
that
really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
But not so much... It's not overt. It's all...
Behind, kind of like very kind of... Yeah, you know what's going on.
Oh,
like,
I love
it.
Oh,
God.
It's just such a great show, because you can really sink your teeth into, like, the writing and you know, it's just so good. And then, you know, I don't recommend it for everybody, because there is a ton of nudity and sex. Like, every episode...
Well, every episode on HBO is all sex. Yeah, you know, it's like, really? Because that's why we get the DVDs.
Yeah.
Because then we can fast forward through all that stuff. We're like, okay, really? Does it really have to be 20 minutes of sex? Okay, next. Let's get into the details.
Right?
That's what we do.
But it's a show worth getting into. Mm-hmm. And it's a really well-written, well... If you can get past that. I know a lot of people... but that aside, I mean, just the characters are so awesome. There's so many good characters.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people on there you love to hate, and there's people on there you love to love.
It's kind of like Walking Dead. Just, you know, kill them already. You
good
know?
Recommendations, Sue. So number two, I always ask, do you have a book or a magazine or, you know, a comic book, anything? You already kind of gave Fables, but is there anything right now?
Right now, I just finished. It was a limited series, also by Vertigo. Punk Rock Jesus.
All right. What is punk rock?
Yeah, I know. At first, I was like, I'm buying it just because it's called Punk Rock Jesus. Uh-huh. I think that's the funniest thing ever. I'm like, really? I'm going to see who buys it. Everybody bought it.
Yeah.
And people are telling me it's so good. It's so good. So Punk Rock Jesus is about a little bit to the future from now. This TV guy who's kind of like, you know, he's kind of like the guy who does like all those stupid reality TV shows. He's a producer, and what he did was he went to a genetic scientist who ended up finding a way, you know, she knew how to clone things. He told her that he had the DNA from the Shroud of Jesus.
From the Shroud of Turin, yeah.
And she was to go ahead and clone a Jesus. But he wanted her, you know, a virgin to give birth to.
Whoa.
I know. It's intense. I mean, it had parts of the book where I had to put it down and like walk away for a minute because it got so crazy in it. But, so basically, and they're also going to show it all on TV as a reality show.
Whoa.
So from the point where they went around, you know, the country and found a naive girl to play the mom, they implanted her with the DNA, you know, got her pregnant.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's insane. But what happens is, it's like what becomes, they thought would be great TV. Then you had people who were religious who thought, you know, it was blasphemy.
Yeah.
And then you had the people, you know, the scientists who thought, you know, that's, you don't know if that's really the DNA.
Yeah.
And then you had all of these people who liked it, you know, thought it was a second coming. So it's like you had the political fighting around it while this TV show is going, and where they had to be stuck on this island to run this TV show and keep away from the rest of the people because they didn't know, because people would try to break in there and kill them, you know, and it was just crazy.
That brings up a really interesting question, because you can almost see somebody trying, as insane as that sounds, you can, Patton Oswalt has a great joke about how the problem with science is, it's like, well, screw it, let's just see if we can do it.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, look, we invented flying cancer. Like, you're welcome, you know.
Flying cancer.
You know, like, it does bring up a question, because, especially in America, where, like, religion could, you know, it's so, you know, divisive and things, and there are questions like that. I would be afraid that it would be blasphemous, but I would almost want to read it just because the way you broke it down, like, you know, people would think it was blasphemous, other people would be for it, other people would be like, well, this is the second coming.
Right.
Like, you could see how it would just divide.
It'd be war, like, that would really happen.
You know
what I mean? It's like, there would be people out there, religious people, who would probably, you know, agree with it and thought it was the greatest thing ever. There's other ones that think, no, you know, you're victimizing this child to give birth to something that, you know, you have no idea, you know, what it is you're giving birth to. So it's like, you have that whole, you kind of watch the political aspect of it too. And the story is excellent. When I read it, I was just, I didn't expect anything when I was reading it. But I understood. And, you know, and then the child grows up realizing who he is and then realizing what was going on. And, you know, the punk rock comes out of it, you know.
Wow.
He fights it, you know. And he realizes, and do you really believe that you're the second coming of Jesus? Or is it? Because there was really no, the only person who really knows it was the DNA was the guy who gave the DNA, the producer. And who knows who that was that brought me. You know what I mean? It could be anybody. Just causing, you know, this havoc.
Yeah.
But, and there's like a side story in there too. You know, one of the bodyguards, his side story is in there. He was an IRA, you know, agent way back, and, you know, an Irish Republican. I mean, they kind of get into that too.
Yeah.
And what went on there.
Yeah,
you know,
what
Ireland,
goes on in the name of religion.
In the name of religion back then, even over in Ireland when they were having the wars with, you know, England.
And it was
like that, you know, the religious thing. So it's, the book, it was a 6-issue miniseries. I have the trade because I ended up getting it, and I thought, well, shoot, I'll just read it and see what's up with it. And literally, even Mike was sitting there, and he was watching TV, and I was like, oh, my God. And he's like, what? And I kind of told him the concept of it, and he was like, that's really fascinating,
yeah,
the concept is, you know. And he, him growing up Catholic, you know, you just kind of like,
sure,
think about it, it's like, wow, you know. It's like, but I had to put it down, and I was just like, it was just, there's parts of it that were just kind of like, okay, it's just a book. You know what I mean? It's just like, but you know, you have those, there's those moments in the book that you're just kind of like, what the F, you know, just happened. And you just kind of like, you know, oh my God, and I can't believe that happened, you know. And then you put it down. To capture me like that, to read a book, it's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, that means you're writing a good story, you know. So I recommend that book to
anybody. There's a lot that brings up so many fascinating questions as far as, you know, our morality, like, you know, just cloning in general.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of taking it to that nth degree where, like, now you're cloning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, that's something that's fascinating to me.
It's a fascinating book. And everybody's, I mean, I sold out of it. I kept selling out of it.
Yeah.
Everybody told me, you know, they were reading it, like, oh, my God, you have to read this. And I'm like, you know, may I wait for the trade? You tell me it's great. You recommend it to me, I'll remember that. When it comes out, I'll read it, and I'll be like, OMG. It's kind of like Avengers versus X-Men. you know, I didn't read any of those until the book came out. And when I read it all at once, and I'm like, oh my God, now I know what you guys are talking about. You know,
that hooked me. That hooked me. That's the title. I was getting that for Isabella, thinking, well, I'll give it to this one day when she's like 10 or 12 and she's mm-hmm. a little older. Because mm-hmm. the Avengers titles aren't as bad. Like some of the Batman titles just get so graphic and there's more language. There's not really a lot of language in the Marvel stuff. A little bit here and there. Marvel tends to take things a little lighter mm-hmm. where it's, if it goes dark, it's like, well, this character went nuts and killed another superhero or something. And when DC goes dark, it's like, this character went nuts and chewed somebody's face off, you know, like, so.
Well, especially in Batman, you have all the crazies. Yeah. You know, Gotham is just a breeding ground of crazy people, you know what I mean? Including Batman.
Exactly. So, you know, it's so like, the Marvel stuff tends to be a little bit not as bad. So I just started reading it because I just wanted to see what was going on, mm-hmm. and it sucked me in. And I was like, man, when did Cyclops become such a jerk?
He's
like
a douchebag. Oh, he's the worst. Book. And I just like, it just makes me so mad because what made me so mad about it is that he believed he wasn't doing anything wrong.
Oh.
You were just like, you are so full of yourself, yeah. you ass. You know, you just want to like strangle
him. And I think the two best offshoots of that, of the fallout of that, have been the Uncanny Avengers, which mm-hmm. is really great.
I want to read that one.
It's so good. And then All New X-Men is awesome, too.
I read that. I read the first book. It's so good.
It's really good. So those are two I'm going to throw those out there for you. But start with Avengers versus X-Men. It's a great one. Sue has it in trade.
Yeah. Actually, I have to get more. I already ordered
you
more.
You kind of have to know that Phoenix obliterated everything the first time it showed up. That's all you really.
You have to know about the, you know.
But you know
if
enough.
If you've read any of, the, or if you ever seen even any of the stupid movies, yeah. you know that the Phoenix Force is the thing that's just like obliterates everything.
Yeah, you could pick it up from. If you've seen the movies, mm-hmm. you can pick it up and you'll.
Even though the third movie is horrible.
Yeah. Well, it's what's his name, that Rush Hour guy. All right. Which are great movies, but they're not in the comic book. All right, number three, I always ask. Is there a piece of app or technology that you listen to? Not that you listen, did you use? Is there an app, technology, any kind of that you find handy? Could be. Is there someone you know? Like, is there somebody that? Well, you don't use Twitter.
No, I don't have a Facebook page either.
The store does.
The store does. That's the only way, and I still can't figure the darn thing out.
Is there a reason you don't use? You don't like Facebook?
I don't like putting my business out to everybody. You know what I mean? It's nobody's business. If you really want to know what I'm doing, ask me.
Just do what I do. I post this.
See, I can't do that. I'm not into that.
But
you know?
I just post stuff. People.
Nobody cares if I'm sitting on the toilet. You know
what I mean? I don't post that.
I know they were talking about that with Twitter. When Twitter first came, I was like, yeah, I'm sitting on the toilet. Yeah. I'm like, really? Do I really care? I don't care about stuff like that.
Well, the secret to Twitter is following. You follow the right people.
Well, yeah, I do. My store has a Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
It does? I never go on it. But, you know, the only people I follow is, like, LeVar Burton. Because I heart LeVar Burton, okay? Don't even go there. He is so awesome.
Follow George Takei.
Oh, I think he's on there.
He's hilarious.
Stan Lee. And then, like, my Packer boys.
Yeah.
Rodgers and Matthews.
Okay, who do you follow? So give us a Twitter guy to follow. Who's your Twitter guy to follow?
I don't really follow. I get my email says so and so's posted something.
You are screwing the show up right now.
So the only time I see something really funny out there is if like one of the ex-Packers his name's Tom Crabtree. He ended up going out Crabtree. He'd put something stupid on there and they'd all tweet it out like something dumb. Like last year when he scored in that fake field goal and he grabbed the ball and Tom Crabtree ran in the fake field goal and afterwards he's like, puts on Twitter. It's like, wow, what a night. Everybody watched that episode of Glee? You know, it's like some stuff like that. You know what I mean? And everybody starts tweeting it out, you know, because he's just dumb.
Did you see what the guy tweeted yesterday? Mm-hmm. You know, did you hear what happened in the Masters? So Tiger, he
lost.
Well, he had a penalty. And the reason the penalty was called, someone on TV saw that he made a mistake. And they sent an email, they called. But he ended up getting penalized, and that ended up.
I wonder if it was Lindsey Vonn's ex.
He tweeted and said, "You're welcome, Masters. Got to keep an eye on those cheaters, winky face."
Yeah.
And he got. I'm on Twitter last night, and I was reading because my friend told me about it. So much hatred, for him. Like, why would you even?
Can't get over.
And everybody's like, oh, sour grapes. Like, he just made himself look so stupid. Yeah. Like, why?
I just...
Take the high road.
The guy's already, you know...
I'm sorry nobody watches skiing, bro.
I know, only on the Olympics, you know? That's the only time if I'm bored.
Every 4 years we care about skiing,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, really. Seriously?
You know what I mean?
Winter Olympics, whatever.
Who skis anymore?
I don't know. I don't watch... Winter Olympics is boring.
All right, we're going to skip. I'm going to let you off the hook with it. But
I'm not into the whole app thing or whatever.
You got to embrace technology. This is a geek podcast.
You know what? I do embrace technology.
Look at your back.
I'm just never on my phone that much. I don't care. You know, on my phone. I'm always on my computer, if anything.
Recommend your
computer. I know. I have Windows 8. I can't stand those stupid app things. I'm just like, why do I need apps on a computer? Yelling at the TV.
There are programs. They just call them apps.
I know. It doesn't matter. I hate Microsoft. Okay.
Then why did you get Apple?
Because I have to have certain programs that are easier to run on Microsoft.
Well, there you go.
So that's the only reason why.
Suck it. All right, now.
Suck it, Microsoft!
I like Microsoft. Look, I'm using glasses.
Oh, you're using your glasses now.
To read my own writing. How nice. Sad is that? Is this one thing I never know about you, Sue, and this is one thing I want to get into. Music or an artist, do you have anything you recommend? You are, it's so weird to me that you are not into music at all because I am so.
I'm into music, but my music is just like, you know.
What is your favorite band?
I don't really have one.
That's so awful. I hate, like.
No, I like what? The closest thing I like as a band would be country.
Oh, God. Forget it. We're done.
I like Lady Antebellum. They're pretty cool.
We're done.
But like back before I haven't heard any of their other stuff. But
Dial Tone. That's all I'm hearing. Dial Tone.
Why? There's nothing wrong with it.
Look at me. What color am I?
Come on, embrace it. There's some good stuff out
there. No, there's nothing. There's no good new modern country. Modern country now is just pop that gets
it is pop.
It's sung through the nose. Mm-hmm. But like when you talk about bands like, you know, Lauren, your twin, because mm-hmm. you guys are both talking. She loves like slightly country. She loves old country.
Old
which I also love,
too.
Like, you know, Johnny Cash. Or,
oh, yeah, that's good.
All that stuff, Zara, I have no beef with that. Where I draw the line is, like, 70s, from the 70s on, I'm like, meh.
You sound like my dad.
Because, like, Merle Haggard and all that. Because everybody tries to sing, like, Merle Haggard after, like, Merle Haggard. So it's like I call it the Eddie Vedder syndrome. So
oh, yeah.
Everybody tries to sing, like, yeah, yeah. So, like, that's why Nickelback is horrible.
Oh,
cause they're
God,
just there,
Nickelback
you know. I hate Pearl Jam now because of people trying to sing like Eddie Vedder.
I can't listen to that stuff anymore. In the 90s, freaking, all those bands all sound the same.
Mike, how do you let her listen to country? I'm going to bring Mike into this.
She listens to a little bit of everything.
I listen to everything, really.
Mike, don't stick up for her.
I don't really have a favorite, though. It's just like, if something sounds really good.
ABBA?
No, if something sounds really good, stupid. You're so stupid.
He said it, not me.
ABBA. Hey, ABBA was cool back then, but no. You know, someone has a really cute song or something like that. You know, it's like, you know, what was that song that we liked? Michael Bublé had that one really cute song. And then, yeah. I haven't met you yet. It was cute.
There you go.
You know, so that was like, okay. I mean, but I really don't. Usually they do one or two good songs and then the rest of it's shit. I don't go to concerts anymore. I used to go to concerts.
What was the last concert you went to?
God, what was the last concert I went to? No Doubt. Back in the Tragic Kingdom days.
My wife and I have a great story. My wife and I went, and my wife was ahead of the curve on No Doubt. Like, she was really into them, and they hadn't really broken out on K-Rock. They kind of were breaking out on K-Rock, but it wasn't yet. And they were still kind of a teeny bopper band. Mm-hmm. So my wife's like, let's go see. And I was okay with it. I was like, she's like, let's go see them. So we went to Universal Amphitheater. Mm-hmm. Back something else now, but back when it was Universal Amphitheater. We were the oldest people at the concert. And we were like 23, 24 when that came out.
Yeah.
It was all like.
It was actually the Tragic Kingdom tour. And it was in Sacramento. And I was with my friends. And their seats were horrible. But I remember going to that.
They put on a great show. But we really felt like, wow. It was like if you went to a Selena Gomez concert now.
God.
That was that was all tweens. And we're just like, whoa. We are really we are way too old for that. Okay, so the last one I do is I always recommend. I always let you pick. Whatever you want to recommend. Recommend something. Anything. Anything you want.
Just recommend book,
whatever,
something?
Something you think is cool. Movie, TV show,
if
book.
You're a nerd. Recommend watching some sports. Seriously, I'm just saying, you know, come on.
Why do you think...
Watch a sport.
Why do you think there's a disconnect, though?
I think a lot of sports guys are douchebags. I know. And I think, you know, there's a lot of bullying when it comes to a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, even sports guys with themselves, I mean, there's a lot of bullying. I think that there's a lot of jerks that play it and think they're so cool because they play a sport.
You know, I went to the high school where I went. I knew a lot of the guys on the football team that were cool because they had gone to elementary school. Mm-hmm. But there were other guys that were just total douchebags. And my brothers really wanted me to go out for football. And one, I didn't get to be this big till I was a senior. And two, I just didn't want to hang out with those kind of people. I just didn't. I had no interest in, you know. Some of the guys I knew were cool, and those guys were cool. But
I mean, not all of them.
There were so many other douchebags there that I was like, meh.
A lot of them, you know, and that's how they were raised, you know, because, you know, dads are like, you know, you got to be this, and you have to go in there and be, like, tough, and da-da-da. And then, you know, you teach these kids like that, and then they act like assholes, you know, mm-hmm. in real life. And then that's all they do is become assholes when they're adults. And then they become like their dad, who becomes a union guy who works, you know, as a drunk. Like, that's all he does.
You ever read The Onion?
No.
The Onion is a great... It's all satire. It's all like it's a fake newspaper. But they did a headline. They just had a picture of a guy, and he was just the cockiest looking guy. He's just like saying in the background, and there's like a younger guy saying in front of him. And the headline was "A-hole proud of a-hole son." Yeah.
That's what it's like. You know, I see that a lot. You know, I see that you know, they get it. Usually the kids are like that because their parents are exactly like that.
Well, you know, I think what it is I think there's the people that are into the stuff that we're into aren't necessarily good at sports, and then they're shunned, and then they don't want anything, like you said, they don't want anything to do with it. It's like so they just grow up thinking, well, why am I going to root for this, you know, but I grew up also, it was like a familiar experience. My grandmother would take us all to Dodger games, but she'd buy tickets for all my cousins.
Right.
So we'd go to Dodger games when I was a kid, like Fernando Mania was huge. So you get bitten by the bug, and it's like, I wasn't good at sports, but I still like playing.
Right.
We still played baseball.
I never played
with
sports.
My cousins or whatever, but it's something that you can also get into and be a nerd about.
Well, you know, I never got into sports, okay? But I never played sports myself. But, you know, when I was a kid, we had like one TV in the house. And guess who had control of that TV? My dad. And he would always have a baseball game on, basketball, anything sports. It would always be on, you know, some of his family time, you know, and then when he's not there, we go jump on the TV and watch whatever the hell we want. But there's always, I mean, I grew up, I'm sorry to say, but I grew up a huge Cub fan.
What's wrong with that?
It's just sad. It's sad. No, I understand how sad it is. It's very sad, and they suck. I don't think they're ever not going to suck. But my whole life, you know, it's been my grandpa grew up a Cub fan. Which is weird. We're from Wisconsin, but
it's close.
My dad, he always told me when he was a kid, you know, he'd be on the farm, you know, doing chores and stuff like that on the farm. And he'd have the radio sitting there, and they would always get the Chicago stations because they were so close. And so they would listen to the Cub games, him and his brothers and everything else. So everybody was always a Cub fan. We never were into the Brewers, you know. It was like, whatever.
Well, they came along a little
later. They came along later, you know, and the Milwaukee Braves were there, you know, back in the day. So they were listening to the Cubs. So I grew up. You know, I went to Wrigley Field. You know, I've been all over the country since we've been to, like, you know, in Atlanta. We went to see the Cubs there, you know, and back in, you know, whatever, how long ago. I've been to so many stadiums. I've seen the Cubs play everywhere.
And you still don't like baseball.
Well, I can't watch it on TV. Cause if I'm there, I get into it.
Yeah.
But the problem is that when I'm watching on TV, I pass out. So it's like, I don't know if it's the slow pitch. Hello, I grew up with Rick Sutcliffe as a pitcher, and he was the slowest stupid jerk ever on the planet throwing that stupid ball, and I'd be like, oh man, get off the mound, you know.
Rick,
it's like,
Sutcliffe.
Remember him?
Yes,
he sucked. You know,
what a name from the past but
him. And then I grew up with, you know, the closest they ever got was with Ryne Sandberg, was, you know, he was my favorite.
Yeah.
And then had Mark Grace in first, and he had, you know, Sean Dunston in shortstop, and you have Andre Dawson in the, you know. And I remember all those guys. That's what I grew up with.
I will always
that.
Respect Mark Grace for coining the term slump buster.
Slump buster.
Which is an ugly girl you hook up with in the middle of a...
He was a freak. He loved to go out to party all the time.
But
he
said that on Jim Rome one time, that he needed a slump buster. And he's like, what's that mean? He's like, oh, it's an ugly girl you hook up with if you're having a bad, like, streak. A slump buster. That's so awful and such a jock term. But my friends and I really glommed onto a slump buster.
That I remember when Joe Girardi used to be the catcher. Oh. And then, like, friggin', like, you know, Greg Maddux was good, you know, back in the day, you know, in the beginning.
So you're naming all this stuff.
I know these guys. But the thing is that I used to be into it when I was a kid. Yeah. So the only way I got into it is I'd sit there with my dad.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, what's that? What's that? What's that? And he would teach me the rules of the game. He did that with football and basketball. So I know what I'm seeing when I'm seeing it. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell is that? I'm like the worst in football. I start yelling, that's illegal, you know, and I start going off. I'm like, personal foul, you know. It's like
you remind
crazy.
Me of Nicole because you get really passionate about it. My wife gets so passionate. She just offended a friend of mine that I had on Facebook because there was an incident with the Dodgers where they made these people.
Oh, yeah, they put the outfits. Yeah,
they made them change their outfits.
They bought them clothes and, yeah.
Who does that?
Right? I don't know. It's like, whatever. Hey, if you're willing to give me free beer, that's cool, you know, whatever.
Right? I have a friend that lives in Arizona, and she wrote, oh, well, you know, it's the equivalent of something. She wrote a comment, and then my wife just laid into her. Because my wife's a huge star.
It's a free country. You shouldn't have to tell people what to wear. Exactly. And you're behind there. You know, it's not like it's, you know, you can't tell them, oh, you can't sit there. It's kind of like that Seinfeld where Elaine to the Yankees game and she was wearing a Baltimore Orioles hat.
That's right.
And they threw her out because of it because she was in the owner's seat.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing. It's just not... I don't think it's cool.
Hey, they paid $3,000 for those.
If they paid $3,000, you better damn right I'm going to wear whatever the hell I want to wear. Right?
And they're like, oh, we'll buy you drinks. Well, they already get free drinks where they were sitting. Like, why would you make them change?
You know, see, that's the thing. Oh, because it's distracting. I'm like, then why have the seats there?
You know what's great? Every nerd that we had up to this point is now like too late.
Like, what's this sports crap? Yeah. Why are you talking about baseball?
By the way, I recommend you watch some sports. That is like the best answer I've gotten.
I'm just saying, you know, sometimes you just need to like get away from the nerd and have a little.
But you can nerd out about sports.
I can.
Stats.
Oh, God.
The stat nerds, like we talked about that.
I love it when people go at each other, you know, when they start saying stuff and they don't know what they're talking about. You're like, what the hell are you talking about? Do you know this, that? Do you even know what you're talking about?
It's so much fun to talk garbage.
Oh, I love it.
It's another thing I love about sports. And I always come in here, and you don't care, but I always tell you how my fantasy teams are. I always tell you how badly your Packers fared on my fantasy. How much they contributed to my...
It was the worst. You know, I tell people that all the time. It's like the only way you're going to get a lot of points is if you have Rodgers and a receiver.
Yeah, of course. Well, you know what? That's a whole different... It's a different game. Fantasy's a whole different thing.
And I still think you guys are crazy for playing it.
It's fun, though.
I know. So I bet fun. It is. But see, I love my team too much. I can't pick other people. And then they're like, well, just pick all Packers. I'm like, why? On a bye week, I have nobody?
Well, you know what I mean? You know what? That's why the appeal to me of fantasy, I don't have a team here. So I'm not, I have no personal stake in it.
Mm-hmm.
Once LA gets a team and I start rooting for them, I'll stop playing fantasy. Because then it's like,
I can't
root for some. What if I have to root for, like, you know?
Well, it's like, what if the Packers are playing, you know, the Vikings and I have Adrian Peterson on my freaking fantasy? I mean, seriously, who am I rooting for? Adrian Peterson or my team? It's like, I just don't
see,
you know, I have too much passion for my team to go and play.
I like watching football. I like watching a good game. Sunday I'll flip the channels.
I watch the Raiders just to laugh.
Yeah, see, but I don't have a personal stake in any team, so there's nothing for me to, I kind of root for the Pittsburgh Steelers because I can piss off both of my brothers simultaneously because one's a Rams fan and one's a Raiders fan.
Yeah,
so I like go for the Steelers, right? So, but I don't really like, I'm not like, hey, Steelers, you know, so I don't care. Like, that's why fantasy to me, it kind of keeps me.
I mean, if you don't have a team, that's great. I think that's, you know, you still like the sport.
I can't root for a team from somewhere I'm not from. It's just, I'm not.
Right.
Yeah. I got to root for San Francisco, the Niners. So then when the Super Bowl wins, the Giants fans can be happy.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Screw them.
Sacrilege.
I told you, I'm a hater. I'm a hater above all. Sue, is there anything else you want to add? There's another podcast that takes place from here, that Sue and Mike let our friend Matt do a show here. It's called Undercity Chaos and the link is on my page. So listen to that. I'm actually a pseudo co-host on there, but, did you guys want, was that, did he approach you with the idea of doing the podcast from here?
He approached us. Yeah. And I thought it would be kind of a cool idea to...
It's a good way to
get promotion.
Some promotion because you have a great shop and you guys have a really wonderful business and I hope you guys have continued success, because I know that my daughter is looking forward to working here.
Yes, I already told her she has a job here when she comes.
She is really looking forward to that. So you got to hold out for another like 10 years.
I know, pretty much.
And so she can work here and I cannot worry about where she is at night. Do you want to give a promo for a Free Comic Book Day is coming up? Can you give a...
Free Comic Book Day is coming up on May the 5th. May the 5th.
No, it's May the 4th, isn't it?
Is it May the 4th? I don't even know what day it's on.
It's May the 4th.
Is it May the 4th? Whatever, Saturday. That's the first Saturday of May.
Yes.
So we'll have some free comic books here. We do limit one per customer because the last couple of years we had people come in and milk it.
Yeah. Why are you looking at me?
I'm not looking at you. I'm just saying. I'm not looking at the thing.
I needed those 8 copies of the Smurfs.
But, you know, just come on in, you know, and check out what we have so we could, you know, because we put out a lot of stuff last time and people came in pretty much wiped us out in 30 minutes.
Okay. And you're looking at it like expanding the trades and we're thinking
about expanding the trades, you know, and probably getting more toys.
Okay. When do you see the Hello Kitty stuff?
It's just slowly. I already had my last shipment come in, so yeah. We're just now it's kind of like just getting rid of the stuff that I
just dwindling. Okay, dwindling away. Yeah. Okay, is there any final... Do you have any questions? No, I'm kidding.
No, not at all.
No. Well, thank you, Sue, for sitting down with us.
Oh, thank you.
Free Comic Book Day again, May 4th. I will be doing, hopefully, I will be here again Wednesday to talk to some of your customers. And we're going to put that out as another episode, but that's going to be more of like a leading up to... but thank you so much. And thank you again for supporting us, because you let us come in and do a podcast here, and you've let us come in and do 2.
Okay.
And you've always kept the door open for us, and we do appreciate it.
Of course.
And thank you guys for being so awesome to us, and especially to my daughter, because she really does. She thinks you are the coolest.
So funny. She cannot stop talking. No. She's so cute.
She gets it from my wife.
She's like, and then this. And did you go into Lego City Undercover? And it's like, she's telling me all that what's going on in Lego City Undercover. I have to catch up.
But you to her, I'm not kidding. When she talks about you, you are like Sue. Because you were the first example, because we told her, she goes, oh, I like Sue. We should go to where Sue works. And we told her, no, honey, that's her store.
Mm-hmm.
What? Because that was at a time where she was like, I don't know if I like girl things or boy things. And we always try to tell her, you can like both and everything. And so she really thinks that you're like the coolest. Because like you have a comic book store and you're a lady and you're kind of like she looks up to you, you know. So she like really,
she's adorable.
She really
she's
thinks
such a smarty pants.
She like her. She loves. She just thinks you're the coolest because it's like your place and like you're the queen when you're here and you're just, you know. She just it's the coolest thing to her. So I do appreciate, because you're always super patient with her, and I know sometimes I'll go over here and start talking and then I'll look back and I'm like, oh my god, she's still talking.
She's fascinating. I love when she
talks to
me.
And you're just so patient, and she's just like, yeah. She when I told her you played, and she loved the Chase Maker, but when I told her that you loved whether you were playing at Lego City Undercover, what? I gotta talk to her about it. I gotta tell her. I gotta, you know. She's you guys are kindred spirits, that's for sure. Okay, Sue, as we're gonna say goodbye to everybody. This is a really long show. It went longer than I thought, but it was fascinating. You were great, and I hope you had a good time.
I had a great time.
Were you nervous?
No.
Everybody likes to talk about themselves.
See, I like talking to you. So it's like, I know, that's right.
Right? Right?
You love it, you know, hey.
I do not talk about myself.
Oh, my God.
I talk about my adventures, but I'm fascinating. Again, guys, please follow us on Twitter. We are at Soup Complex, S-O-U-P Complex. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/Soup Complex as well. And if you need to get a hold of me, you can... SuperiorityComplexShow@gmail.com is the place to do that. So keep liking us, listen to us on iTunes, give us a review, and we will say goodbye and give a special shout out to Undercity Chaos. And I'm sorry for stepping in on your territory, Matt. We will say goodbye for now, and I will end the show as I always do by saying, this transmission ends now.